The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play the fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access the platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's ARBS versusodds.com. Plus, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter for free. Enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Szoboszlai in support as well. And this is Dominic Szoboszlai. Onana threw up a palm.
What a save.
Brilliant ball from Mo Salah. And fair credit to the goalkeeper, who has been in really good form in the last few months. Makes himself really big.
McAllister. Robertson to flash it across. Szoboszlai. Aquaplaning into the penalty area.
Randy Robertson doesn't flash it across, just behind the defenders. That's a great opportunity. He's got to be doing a lot better there, Szoboszlai.
Robertson plays it in. Nunez! Diaz! Liverpool dancing in the face of the enemy. Hitting the front, in front of the Stretford end. Given away by Quansah. Oh. Hit by Fernandes! Oh.
My goodness.
What a belting! The Red Devils from out of the blue. Quansah hangs his head. Bruno Fernandes pops out his chest. And Old Trafford comes to life.
Get stuck in between Darwin Nunez, between shooting and finding Szoboszlai.
And for Garnacho. And now Wan-Bissaka. And Maino! Oh, beauty! Glorious chaos!
This game is absolutely mad.
Miro out only as far as Joe Gomez. And Diaz and Salah.
Oh, the chances.
Elliott got it back from Salah. Harvey Elliott's gone over. It's a penalty. Wan-Bissaka threw in a leg. Harvey Elliott went over it. In Liverpool's hour of need, once more, he is the man.
You are listening to Bet MUFC here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow Bet MUFC on X at Bet MUFC. That's at Bet MUFC. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network. And finally, be sure to follow my other X account. That one is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. That's where I give sports betting opinions. That's where I post free play winners. And most significantly, that's where I post my monthly profit and loss spreadsheet. All of the P&Ls are posted there. The pinned tweet is always the latest one. So if you look at the pinned tweet on that account, it will be the P&L from the previous month. If you want to find the P&L spreadsheets in an easier location, they're all posted over on the website, lockbetting.com. That's also where you can sign up for my additional plays. But before you sign up, I actually encourage you to look through the spreadsheets, do your due diligence. Every spreadsheet is verified by existing members. You'll see that we make a profit every month. You'll see the type of plays that we do. And you'll see how we sensibly manage a bankroll. We don't chase losing plays with bigger plays. We don't hide behind monopoly money terminology like star plays, five-star plays, 10-star plays, 20-star plays, whale plays, max plays, play of the year, century, whatever they're doing on X. They're not making money, they're not making real bets, and they are not making a profit. We are, the spreadsheets are there. We've done it for a decade and 10 additional months, 130 months undefeated. Have I had losing days? Yes. Have I had losing weeks? Yes. But I've never lost across that 31-day period. I've won every single month, and we look for month number 131 here in the month of April. If you have questions, my DMs are open at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. Moving on with this edition of BetMUFC, another blockbuster entertaining game with Liverpool. In fact, Man United are having entertaining games with everybody here in 2024. A 4-3 with Chelsea, a 4-3 with Liverpool, this 2-2 with Liverpool. Unfortunately, we continue to drop points late on in games. Had we got the 3 points against Chelsea, then we would be 3 points better off and closer to Tottenham. The gap to Tottenham would be 8 points. We should have picked up that win against Brentford. Then the gap to Tottenham could have been 6 points. And had we held on to win this game against Liverpool, the gap between us and Tottenham would be just 4 points, with Tottenham having to play all of the top three after this week. So it does make a huge difference. Had we won all of those games, had we even won 2 out of those 3 games, had we taken 7 points instead of just taking 2 points from the, 2 points, sorry, from those games against Brentford, Chelsea and Liverpool, Manchester United would be in a far stronger position, and I would still be confident that we could overhaul Tottenham. But with just 2 points from those 3 games, games where we should have won every single one of those games, despite the fact that we were dominated by Brentford, that was our worst performance. That was a game which we should have won because we took the lead in the 96th minute. You have to win that game. When you're leading against Chelsea after 96 minutes, you should win that game. Against Liverpool, we led till the 85th minute, so it's not as bad. Liverpool are known for scoring late goals. They've scored more late goals than anybody this season in the final 15 minutes, but Manchester United know that they should have taken more than 2 points, and they could live to regret it. Yet, it's still not over. And I'm not being the blind Man United optimist here when I say it's not over, in my opinion. I don't think it's still over for Man United to finish in the top five. This is because it isn't beyond the realm of possibility that Tottenham genuinely could lose all of those games to the chasing pack. And Manchester United themselves, they have a very favourable schedule. They are at home, they travel to Bournemouth, which we're going to cover at the end of the show. Then we have Coventry in the FA Cup semi-final. Then we are at home to Sheffield United, at home to Burnley, and away to Crystal Palace. Three games that you would expect Manchester United to win after this weekend. In fact, you would expect Man United to beat both Palace and Bournemouth away, as those two teams have nothing to play for, and a motivated Man United should go and win those games. We are then at home to Arsenal, which is obviously difficult because they're challenging for the league. At home to Newcastle, a game we should win because Newcastle, by that point, have nothing to play for and don't really have anything to play for at the moment. And then we travel to Brighton, which again is a difficult game, but every single one of those games is winnable, even a home game against Arsenal, because they'll be facing the pressure of being involved in the title running. At least I expect them to still be involved in the title running at that point. So with Man United having a favourable schedule, an 11-point gap is something that we could claw back. We would obviously need significant favours, and we would need Tottenham to drop points in all of those games against top-tier opponents. But it's a very difficult schedule. Travelling to Newcastle, then at home to Arsenal, then you're travelling to Chelsea, who are very strong at home. Then you're travelling to Liverpool before you play Burnley at home, and then you host Manchester City. So it is by far the more difficult schedule. I just feel that Man United are going to be around about 3 to 6 points short, and it's going to come down to blowing that lead against Chelsea and allowing Brentford to score 2 minutes after you took the lead in the 96th minute. Did we deserve to win that game? No. Should we have won it? Yes. Are there multiple games throughout the season where Man United dropped points where they shouldn't have done? Yes. But others would argue that Man United have probably picked up points where we didn't deserve to pick up points because our performances at the start of the season were very, very poor. And we actually probably had more points than we deserved. But in 2024, despite the fact that Ten Hag is still facing fierce criticism, I think Manchester United have actually played well for the most part. I think the future looks bright when you're looking at the likes of Mainoo and Garnacho coming through. And I'm just hoping Man United can deliver a strong finish, get to that FA Cup final, put on a good performance against whoever we play against, and just knock up as many points as we can to at least put a little bit of pressure on Aston Villa and on Tottenham as well. We didn't really talk about Villa's schedule. They travel to Arsenal tomorrow, or on Sunday rather. Then they're at home to Bournemouth and Chelsea, games we expect them to win. They then travel to Brighton. That's a more difficult one. They're then at home to Liverpool. Liverpool will be desperate in that game. And they finish with a winnable trip to Crystal Palace. So for Villa, the fixtures aren't quite as hard. But still, when you're looking at trips to Arsenal and a home game against Liverpool, you can see Aston Villa dropping 6 points there. Man United actually have a game in hand on Villa as well and could reduce the gap down to 8 points. And if Villa do drop six points in that game, then Manchester United may have a chance to capitalise, but we'll need Villa to drop more than 6 points. We'll need him to drop points away to the likes of Palace, away to Brighton, and we ourselves will need to be near perfect. But as I said, not a miracle. We're not in miracle territory yet. Do I think we'll do it? No. I think Man United are going to finish sixth, and I think we'll be beaten by Manchester City in the FA Cup final. But as I've said already, it's not a foregone conclusion that we'll play Manchester City, because Chelsea have lost exactly zero games to Man City this season. They've played them twice, and some would argue that they probably should have beaten them twice. So take from that what you will. Before we listen to Erik ten Hag, let me let you know, in honour of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made SpiderX putter. Enter for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. You have until the Masters is over to enter. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing app in the industry. Sign up today with the promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick-up special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com. You'll find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as that instant pick-up special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700, or you need to visit ncpgambling.org.
We got the news yesterday about more defensive injuries, but can you give us an update first on Marcus Rashford and Scott McTominay and whether they're available this weekend?
Scott, I don't think so. We have a training, so we have a day. He will push. He's so keen to be part of it tomorrow. But I think it's it's very questioning. And then Rashford. Rashi trained yesterday. See how we recovered from it today. And we will another training today, and then we will make the decision on it.
Defensively, we know that Rafa Varane and Johnny Evans are going to be missing this weekend. That's been centre-back has been a particular problem for you all season long.
And not only centre-backs, also the left full-back position.
In terms of the centre-back in particular, though, how important has Harry Maguire's experience been? Because he was close to leaving last summer. Are you glad now that he didn't? Because he's got such an important role to play now.
You have to see that in perspective. So we were always happy with Harry Maguire. But yeah, he wants to play. And he's a great leader. He's a very good defender. So very comfortable on the ball, yeah. And when I count all those abilities, yeah, just now when we are in our defending line, we have our problems, yeah, then he's even more important to lead that line, to make us play from the back. So we are very pleased he's there. And we need him to get our results and to achieve our targets.
John Murta's departure this week. Eric, can I just ask you, I know that there is a structure in place now that he has moved on, how that will impact your plans and your thoughts and your ideas for the remainder of this season, but also going forward into the new season as well?
I think you mentioned that something happened in the new season. It's very important that the new ownership is working on this, and they have to replace Andy's function to go into the new season. For the moment, of course, I miss his support, and now the surround board, you miss that. But he moved on. There has been made choices, so I work very good. We work very good together. So I would say thank you to John, and I wish him all the best for the future.
You say you miss his support, and obviously you work closely with him, but putting your own plans in place as well, does it impact at all on what you want to do?
No, for me, as I said previously, I also work with the new ownership very good and closely together, and that will not change. It doesn't have impact on the way I can work here. Conditions were perfect and are still perfect, so I'm happy that. But we want to set the right conditions to be successful.
Mickey, Eric, how difficult has it been not to have a settled back four pretty much throughout the whole of the season? Has that hampered the way that you've had to think every single week in the way that you pick your side?
Yeah, it's very difficult. So everyone who has a little bit knowledge about football, they know it will affect your results, your performance and your results. So back four is always a foundation to get in the results. And we didn't have that. But then still we have to win. And we know that. And so then others have to take the responsibility. But when you oversee it, then you know also, it has a negative impact.
Eric, if we look back to the previous meeting with Bournemouth, that was obviously the game in December, the 3-0 loss. And after that game, you said that you thought as a squad that you weren't good enough to be consistent at that point. How much do you sort of think that's still a problem, or to what extent do you think that things have improved in that sense?
It was, in a sense, it was after a very good performance against Chelsea in the week. And we were mentally not ready for that game. They battled us, and we lost the battles. And tomorrow will not different. That is the way they play. So they want to fight with you. And so it's about make sure you go in that fight, and you have the convincement, and you have the belief. And you need to support each other to win the battles, to outplay them, to outrun them, and in defending to match the runs.
Eric, how frustrating has it been for you as the manager to be in winning positions in the last few games and then end up dropping so many points?
That is frustrating, but it is for me but for the team as well. And so the most important part, we get it, to put yourself in a winning position, and also and it was not luck, no, it was we did it out of a plan. But then of course you have to bring the win over the line, and we should act in such moments, we should act better. And it's not about organization, but it has to do with individual tactical mistakes, sometimes technical. It was not out of open play, but we have to manage such situations better.
Before we move on to looking at tomorrow's game against Bournemouth, let me take this quick pause to let you know we're proud to partner up with Avo, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically, you're betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The Avu tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast, as speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. The best part is Avo is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, it's completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's A-R-B-S versus O-D-D-S odds.com. arbsversusodds.com. So we move on to United's trip against Bournemouth. It's our final game before an FA Cup semi-final next weekend. And United are actually the underdogs here, probably because of those defensive problems that Ten Hag outlined. We're at 9-5. Bournemouth are a 7-5 favourite, and it's 29-10 here on the draw. Difficult to know what to do with this one, and really difficult to read too much into United's defensive problems. We look like we can't defend anyway. So what difference would it make if we were missing some defensive personnel? We need to get some consistency at the back. We've been missing Martinez most of the season. We're also missing Luke Shaw. That makes a big difference. And I don't really think it matters who else plays at the back. So I think United are a live dog here, at least in a draw no bet market, where if the game is a draw, then you end up getting your money back because it's a push. But you win if Manchester United win, and you only lose if Bournemouth defeat Manchester United, which would definitely end their faint Champions League hopes. Now, Bournemouth have lost all but one of their five home meetings with the other teams currently occupying the top six. So while Manchester United are just about clinging on to their top six position, it is still a relevant statistic. United have won four of their last five visits to the Vitality Stadium, so they like coming to this ground, whilst Man United have also been unlucky in recent games to pick up just 2 points from trips to Brentford, Chelsea and Liverpool, particularly the last two, and they are the two better teams. Man United put on a very good second half display, and once allowed back into the game against Chelsea after a poor start, Manchester United were the better team for about an hour. Plus, Bournemouth have nothing to play for here, really, other than being motivated by the visit of Manchester United. That's really it. But that's not really the factor that it used to be. Manchester United used to have an aura. Manchester United, when you came up to the Premier League, if you were a newly promoted team, you looked forward to playing against Man United. Man United was a guaranteed sellout every single time. Man United is still a massive club, and this is still a massive game for teams, but the automatic raise your game factor has somewhat disappeared, and you're more likely to probably do that for the likes of a Manchester City or a Liverpool at this point, rather than a Man United who have been, a Man United side who have been moving in the wrong direction for years. So I think Manchester United should be able to win this game. The defensive problems don't worry me as much. And I think there's value on United in the draw no bet market against a Bournemouth team who've got nothing to play for at the price of 21-10 plus 105 here for this one. That's it for me. We'll be back next weekend where we're going to cover both of the FA Cup semi-finals on this show. Until then, good luck with all your bets as always, and thanks for listening.